Father, we just love you again. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you this morning. And we say, how great is our God. Lord, that you would give your only son, not to save some, not to save the religious, not to save those who think they're righteous, but Lord, to save a sinner like me. How great can a God be to save and give his son for a wretch like me? God, we just thank you for the deep love that was displayed for everyone, your whole creation, the day that your son allowed himself to be nailed to the cross for the sacrifice to pay the penalty for the sin that in our life, the penalty that we deserve. God, you gave it that day on the cross. God, I just pray this morning that there's somebody here today, there's somebody listening online that does not know that love, does not realize how deep the Father's love really is, that today that you would remove those scales from their eyes, just like you did with Paul. That today they would realize that, yeah, I am a sinner. I am a sinner, but God saved me. God saved me that hot day in July out there under the shade tree in Fluvanna County so he could use me as a prime example of what God can do with even the worst of the worst. That's what he does with me every Sunday. That's what you do for me every Sunday. God, I just thank you. Lord, we praise you. I pray that your spirit, God, that our hearts would be open to hear your spirit and to feel your spirit moving in our life and that we would be open to allow it. Lord, we love you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, I think we're ready now. Everybody doing okay this morning? Nobody's too hot? If you are, just don't say you are because then everybody else will think they're too hot, okay? But seriously, if you start getting too hot, we got the AC going inside. Don't sit out here and get sick or anything like that. We want you to be comfortable. If you need to use the restroom, don't feel like you're going to disrupt the service. So we want to do that. So if you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 8. We finished up chapter 7 last week, and we saw where we finished up like a three-week, it wasn't really a series, but 3 weeks of sermons on God talking about judgment, like not judging other people, and then we also talked about God's judgment on us. Jesus gave us this warning that last week that many people will come on judgment day when we die and we get before Jesus on judgment day, and they'll say, Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. But Jesus will say, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. And that's that. We had like 3 weeks of pretty deep spiritual things that kind of really just, if it didn't convict your heart in some way or the other, not from my preaching, but from Jesus's teaching and the truth in God's word, we really need to check ourselves. Because I know when I study and I read it throughout the week, I get to the point where I'm like, man, how in the world can I even get up and preach? Because I'm guilty of all this. We talked about how many will want Jesus to be their Savior. Even now, many people want Jesus as their Savior. They want to be forgiven of their sin. They want to be healed. They want to be cleansed. They want all this thing. But they are not willing to let Jesus be the Lord of their life. See, if we really knew our Savior, we would be a true disciple. And that's what Jesus was teaching us last week. This means that we actually do what Jesus asked us to do. Okay, so if he is our Lord, we should obey him. And we should obey his teachings. That's what he went on to tell us when we finished up Matthew chapter 7 last week. He said, those who listen to my teaching and obey it and follow it and do what I say, they're wise, like a person who builds their house on a rock. But the foolish person builds on the sand. See, when we hear Jesus' teaching and we choose not to obey it, we say, yeah, you know what? I know that's the truth, and I know I was taught that, and I know I hear that preached, and I know I've read that, but I'm not going to apply that to my life yet. Because one day, I want to enjoy what I'm doing now. One day, maybe I'll apply it to my life. It's like a person who builds on the sand. We got a shaky foundation. When the storm hits, whether it's the storms of this life or whether it's the day that we stand before Jesus on Judgment Day, if our foundation is weak, we're going to be condemned. So last week it concluded the Sermon on the Mount. I remember I thought a few of y'all were going to shout out like blasphemer when I said it was the best sermon that was ever preached, because y'all looked at me like, did he really just say that? But we finished up a long study of the Sermon on the Mount, which started in chapter 5. And it is the best sermon that's ever been preached. And we looked at it last night. We concluded it. And it ended by saying this: many that followed Jesus and all those who listened and all those who were there listening to his teaching, they were amazed at the authority that Jesus Christ had. They might not have totally understood it all, but they knew that something was divine and something was special about the way that he taught. They knew they could just be in the presence of him and know that something was amazing about him. Well, today, as we start into the first four verses, is all we're going to be in, chapter 8, we're going to see the following. We're going to see that large crowds continued to follow Jesus when they came off the mountain. We'll see how Jesus, we're going to see him interact with someone who was defiled, the lowest of the lowest, an unclean person. We'll see a little view today about who and how great and how awesome Jesus really is. And we're going to see what Jesus can do in the life of someone who humbles himself before him. So before we get into the message this morning, let's go ahead and read the scripture and then we'll talk about it. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 through 4 says this. If I can keep my Bible from... I'm thankful for the breeze. Thankful for the breeze. Starting at verse 1 in chapter 8, it says this: large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. "Lord," the man said, "if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, "Don't tell anybody about this. Instead, go to the priest and let them examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for the reading of your word, and we just pray that we would be open to hear it this morning, and that more importantly, we would be open to let it work in our lives, and we would be willing to obey your teachings. Father, I just pray that your spirit would help me as I try to talk about your perfect and holy scriptures that really don't need any help from me. But Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity that I have to stand in freedom and proclaim the truth, to worship your name and to proclaim the truth this morning. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we actually get into the sermon, I almost got ahead of myself and forgot to read the scripture there, so we don't want to do that. I want to, before we start talking about it, before we start breaking down the scripture, I want us to really get the picture painted in our head of what's going on here. I really want us to really set the stage in our mind of how bad this scenario was for this guy. So before we talk about what Jesus does and how he treats this man with leprosy, I want us to really realize and get a picture in our mind of how awful leprosy really was, but especially how bad it was in Jesus' day. It was a highly feared disease. It was feared because it was disfiguring. Okay, not only did it make you sick, but it made you look terrible. Sometimes, most of the time, it was fatal, and there was no known cure for it. So once you had it, you had it. Kind of like today with AIDS or something like that. Someone with leprosy was considered to be utterly, not just kind of unclean, not just kind of dirty. They were utterly lowest of the lowest. They were utterly unclean. Both physically and spiritually, they were considered to be nasty people. Someone with leprosy was not to get within 6 feet of another person. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? They were to wear torn clothes so everybody would recognize them as unclean. They had to leave their hair unkept. They had to keep their face covered. Sounds like he had the coronavirus. Right? We couldn't get new clothes because all the stores were closed. We couldn't go to the salon or the barber shop. We had YouTube haircuts. We have to wear face masks. It sounds like they had the coronavirus. I mean, there's always something like that in society. So somebody says the Bible doesn't apply today, it even applies there. Somebody says something, they got sick. I saw a meme today or this week on Facebook or something. Somebody shared and it said, wait a minute. Just because the coronavirus is here, does that mean you can't get regular sick anymore? And that's how that kind of is. Like, you hear somebody got sick, you're like, oh, like, we need you to leave. You might have the corona, you know, right? But seriously, it was a feared disease, and that's kind of why it kind of relates. I mean, a lot of us have spent our time, maybe still are, we're fearful of having this coronavirus. Well, this was even worse than that. Whenever they were in public, if someone had leprosy and they were around other people, or someone else, even if they were somebody else getting ready to walk close to them, they had to stand up and yell, "Unclean, unclean!" Can you imagine about yourself saying, "I'm unclean. You can't come next to me." They even made the people with leprosy wear black to symbolize them as being among the dead. They were cast out of society and they were banished from the community. They had to live outside of the community, all by themselves. And this is where they stayed alone until they either died. Most of the time, that's when this punishment was over with for them, or they were healed. But most of the time, it was until they died. So now, hopefully, we have a little taste of what it would be like to be this guy with leprosy. Really think about it. So now look back at verse 1 and 2. Now that we've really can figure and maybe kind of get a little glimpse of what this guy was dealing with, let's read it again. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 says this. Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly a man with leprosy. Now all of a sudden you think about this guy. He's not just a man with leprosy. Put yourself in his position and what he was going through and how ashamed of himself he was and what his life must have been like. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. "Lord," the man asked, "if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." So here's Jesus followed by this large crowd of people. He just preached the best sermon that's ever been preached or ever will be preached. He's coming down the mountain. People are amazed at his teaching. Oh, this whole crowd of people are following him. He had just finished the Sermon on the Mount and just specifically finished teaching on not to judge others. And here he gets to the bottom of the mountain right after the climax of all those things that he taught on the mountain. And here's this diseased, covered, unclean, nasty man waiting for him at the bottom of the mountain. I can imagine all the people that followed Jesus off the mountain, all the people that have been there listening, have been amazed by his teachings, probably saying, "Amen, preacher, amen." They were probably already judging this poor guy. Here they came right off. Isn't that how we are a lot of times? You know, Sunday morning we're fired up, or we had our Bible time, we're fired up, and then we go to work, or we go back out into the world, and all of a sudden we find ourselves like right back into the ways that Jesus told us not to be, or the way the Bible doesn't teach us to be. Every one of them, and I can just imagine, because they were human, they were just like you and me, they were probably judging this guy, like, ooh, oh man, that was a great sermon, but don't go near him. There's a guy with leprosy. Ugh, a leper. Don't get too close to him. Ugh, stay away. But what they didn't realize is how important this man really was. They didn't understand how important this man was to God who created him. This man was getting ready to prove to them that there is never a person who is too unclean for Jesus Christ. This man was getting ready to prove that there's never a person who is too sick for Jesus to heal. You see, this man had a terrible, terrible disease, probably the worst that they knew of at that time. He was incurable. There was no hope at all for this man. He was all alone, living in shame of his disease. Imagine having to scream to other people, "I'm unclean, don't come near me." He was all alone with no family to love him and nobody to hug him and nobody to shake his hand and speak to him. He was all alone hiding his face from other people so they wouldn't see the open sores on his face. He was all alone imprisoned in isolation from the healthy people. But as bad as this man had it, Jesus teaches us a lesson here today. Number one, there is nobody who is beyond Jesus' touch. But he also teaches us this. His disease wasn't near as bad as the disease of sin that infiltrates our life, that infects their life. You see, sin is also a disease that has no cure. There is no worldly cure for our sin. Sin is one of those diseases that causes us to live in shame, just like this leper. Sin makes us feel like we're unlovable. We say, well, how can God love me because he knows all the things that I've done? Or maybe I've wronged people and they're not going to accept me at the church, or they're not going to accept me, or nobody's ever going to love me because they know the mistakes I've made. Sin is a disease that makes us hide our face in public, does it not? When you're ashamed, you don't want to go out in public, right? When you're ashamed of something you've done or something in your past, maybe something in your current situation in life, it's easy to isolate yourself and just stay away from the crowds. Sin is one of those diseases that keeps us isolated and alone. And that's right where the devil wants to find us. There's somebody here today that thinks that they're too nasty. There's somebody listening today that thinks they're too infected. They're too nasty for Jesus to want them, to want to help them. If that's you today, I just encourage you to keep listening. Listen not to me, but listen to what the Word says today. And listen to this event that happened. This isn't a story. This is an event that happened that was recorded and God breathed into the Scriptures. Look back at verse 2 and notice what this man does. Notice what the leper does. There are two things that I want to note this morning, that I want us to take note this morning, that this man does. Number one is this. It says, when the man with leprosy approached Jesus, what did he do? He knelt before him. He knelt before Jesus. Listen to me this morning. Listen to this morning. When this man came into the presence of Jesus, who gave his life for him, who came to save him, not condemn him, who came to save him, in this moment, he stopped worrying about what all the people thought of him. In this moment, he stopped worrying about what the law required from him, what the religious teachers required of him. In this moment, he stopped worrying about the fact that he was utterly nasty and unclean. In that moment, when he came into the presence of Jesus, he forgot about the fact that he was considered among the dead. Are y'all following me this morning? In that moment, when he saw Jesus, but despite being an outcast, despite being incurable in the eyes of the people and the religious people and all the people who thought they were better than him, he knelt before Jesus. It's so simple. He saw Jesus and he knelt before him. You see, he knelt in worship of the one he knew could actually do something about his problem. And that's what we have to do with our sin. In spite of the rules that he was supposed to social distance himself. See, we think our government's real smart, don't we? They came up with a social distancing, right? They were social distancing even back in the Bible days. Even in spite of the rules, and when he came dealing with his eternity and dealing with his sickness and dealing with his uncleanness, he approached Jesus. He put all that aside, and he recognized that Jesus, even in the spite of all that he was going through, even how awful the hand that God had dealt him, that he maybe felt like, that life had dealt him, Jesus was still worthy of his worship. For him to kneel before him and say, you are great and I am not, and I need your help. We all must come to this place in our life where we publicly kneel before Jesus Christ. We come out of our shame and we kneel before the one who can actually do something about the problem that's infecting us. Amen? Y'all with me? Amen. Number two, the second thing that's worth noting about this man is this. He didn't ask for Jesus just to heal him. He didn't ask Jesus just to make him look better so he wouldn't be so nasty when he went into public. He didn't just want Jesus to make his current situation better so he'd be more comfortable. What else did he ask him? He said, heal me and cleanse me. Cleanse me. This man wanted Jesus to totally restore him. He wanted total restoration. I think about when you detail a car, a lot of times it's not so bad to wash the outside, right? That's like instant gratification. You know, you wash it. Feels good to get the water sprayed on you some, okay? It's easy to do. You're outside. But I don't know about you, but if you go inside of a minivan and you wash the outside, you can polish it up as much as you want, but when you open the inside, if you don't give it a full detail, it smells like, you know, Chick-fil-A chips or fries and old spoiled milk or whatever else we find under the seats that the kids left in there with gummy bears stuck to the carpet, right? Am I the only one? So if we're really going to have a clean vehicle, we got to detail it inside and out. And that's what this guy wanted. Look what the man says here. He says, if you are willing, you can, he didn't say if you can, he said if you're willing, you can heal me and you can cleanse me. Think about that. He knew that Jesus was the one who could fix his problem. This man had faith that Jesus could heal him and cleanse him, but he was seeking to see if God really loved him. And I think he's just like many of us do so many times. We say, does God really love me? How can God love me if he knows all the things that I've done? This man was no different than us. He kneeled before Jesus and he said, God, if you're willing, Jesus, if you're willing, like he's on his knees and he says, if you're willing, like if there's any way that you would ever love me, I know you can, but if you're willing. I believe that's what was going through this man's head, even when he was kneeling before Jesus. And that's what makes what Jesus does next so powerful. Look at verse 3. Jesus reached out and touched him. And I don't think he took a break and thought about it for a second. Immediately he reached out and he touches him and he says, I'm willing. I'm willing. That's all he said. I'm willing. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. You see, right here in the middle of this guy's disease, right here in the middle of this guy's pain from his sores, his open sores and all the things that he had dealt with, all the shame, and right here in the middle of his isolation, feeling like nobody loved him and he was all alone, Jesus was there. Jesus was there. Right in the middle of all this, there's Jesus, ready to touch him. Jesus could have kept on walking. He could have been distracted. He might not have noticed him because of all the other people that were surrounding him. Jesus could have been scared like everybody else to even get within 6 feet of him. But Jesus didn't do that. He touched him. Excuse me. Psalm 103:13. If you a note taker, write this down and go back and read it. Psalm 103 verse 13 says this. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. This man feared God, not fear like we fear a virus, not fear like we fear death or anything like that. I'm talking about a fear that just says, you are great and I need to worship you. That's what this guy had. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. When no one else would even go near this man, when no one else would even have dared touch him, Jesus reaches out and touches him, not after he'd gone and seen the doctor, not after he had taken a bath, not after he had tried to do certain things to clean himself up. Right there in the middle of his open sores, unbathed, smelly, contagious, parts of his flesh eaten away by this disease. When no one else would touch him, Jesus did. If you don't remember anything else that I say this morning or that I preach this morning, remember that when nobody else would touch this man, Jesus did. Think about it. I wonder how long this man had gone. I wonder how long he had gone without the touch of another person. We've all gotten a little taste of what it's been like over the last 5 months to lose that touch of other people, right? It's not natural for us not to come together and say, hey, what's up, man, and shake hands and give a quick hug or to reach out and hug your family member or kiss somebody on the cheek or whatever. It's not natural. God created us to touch one another. Just a simple pat on the back, or when someone talks to you, they come up and they put their hand on their arm and say, how you doing today, Anthony? It's that simple little touch that this man was missing in his life. We take it for granted how much a simple hug or a touch can encourage ourselves or someone else, right? And this guy had most likely hadn't been touched by another person and just patted on the back and said, man, you did good today, or whatever, or I missed you, or I hadn't seen you in a while. Well, he puts his hand on their shoulder, whatever. He hadn't had this probably in years. He had been cast out from society all by himself, but Jesus was willing. This guy who nobody else would hug, nobody else would touch him, Jesus was willing. There's nothing required for this healing. That's what's so powerful. There was nothing. Jesus didn't say, go do this and I'll heal you. Make yourself a little bit better. Go clean yourself up a little bit. You know what? Maybe if you put some ointment on that stuff so I don't have to touch it. Maybe if you can take care of some of that, clean yourself up a little bit, then I'll come back and I'll heal you and I'll cleanse you. All he had to do was approach Jesus, believing that Jesus could heal him and cleanse him. That's it. That's it. Now, you go back to John 3:16. What does it say? All who believe. He didn't say all who believe and get themselves together and never sin ever again, or all those things that Jesus came to save them. He said what? All who just, you just believe. Just believe. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 says this. Therefore he is able, not us, but he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. Talking about Jesus. What did he say? He can save those who come to God through Jesus Christ. He goes on to say this. He lives forever to intercede with God on our behalf. What a great promise we have from the Word this morning. Jesus is never too busy to meet with you. Jesus is never too busy to meet with somebody who's listening online. Jesus is never too busy to meet with me. But oftentimes, we're too busy to meet with Him, right? That's the way it works in my life. Jesus is never going to overlook you. He's never going to be distracted enough. He's never going to be distracted with everybody else's prayer requests and everybody else's problems that He can't handle yours and He can't handle mine. And we don't have to clean up our lives before He'll reach out and touch us, just like He did with this sick man. We just have to follow the example of this man with leprosy. And we have to get to the point where we quit worrying about what others will say. We quit worrying about what other people have said. We quit worrying about what we have done in our life. We quit isolating ourselves and we simply approach Jesus and kneel before Him. That's it. Kneel before Jesus. Just walk up, approach Him, and kneel down before Him. When we do this, asking God to heal us of our sin and cleanse us from the inside out, when we believe that Jesus can actually do what we read and what He says He can do, we will be just like the man who had this leprosy. Jesus will reach out and touch your heart, telling you those same words. Child, I'm willing. I'm willing. I remember the day that I finally quit fighting Him and I knelt and I hit my knees and I said, God, if You're willing, if there's any way, I want You to cleanse me. I'm tired of living like this. And I remember that feeling. I might not have heard the words out of the clouds that said, I am willing. I might not have heard that, but I know when God spoke to my heart and said, You're forgiven. You're a child of God. I am willing, He said. Anthony, be healed. Now that sounds like a good way to end this sermon, so don't start packing up your stuff yet, all right? Because we still got a little bit further to go. Look at verse 4. Look at the last verse. It says this. Then Jesus said to him, don't tell anybody about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. Here we see, although that we cannot fix ourselves, although there's nothing we can do to earn salvation, there's nothing we can do to make ourselves right with God that we can do on our own in our own strength, Jesus does require and He does expect us to do something with the gift that we've been given. Jesus wants us to use, He wants to use us as an example of what He can do with even the worst sinners, with even the worst cases, with even the worst sickness. He wants others to say, like, well, oh my goodness, is that Anthony Clore, the guy I went to school with, the guy that I used to hang out with when we were 20-something? Is that him? Is that him standing up in front of people preaching? That's what He wants to do. You see, if someone who had leprosy wanted to be healed, if they wanted to be reintroduced into society, if they want to re-enter into their community, this was the law. They had to go before these religious leaders, these priests, and they would tell them whether they could come into the community again. They would examine them and look at them. And if you don't believe me that God wants to use people that are all messed up, just like me and you, read the Bible and look at all the people that God uses. You see that when this person was healed, they thought they were healed, or maybe they were getting better. They had to be examined by this priest to make sure that they were completely healed. And normally what they would do is they'd look them over, and even if the person looked totally fine, they'd look them over and they'd say, nah, you still got a little sore right here. You still got a little problem you need to go work out before you can come back, before you're clean. That's what they would normally do. See, Jesus didn't want anybody whispering about this man being healed. He didn't want just word of mouth getting around little by little. He didn't want this man to go out and brag and say, look what happened to me. Look how great I am. He wanted the religious leaders to see what he had done, what Jesus had done first. Jesus didn't want the crowd that witnessed his healing to know about this man being clean. He didn't want them to be the only ones knowing about it. He wanted everybody to hear the testimony of what God can do of the life of somebody who simply humbles themselves, kneels before Jesus, and asks to be cleansed. He wanted the priests to see it first because they were the highest, probably, skeptics that there were. So I ask you today, as we close, do you need Jesus to heal and cleanse you today? I'm not talking about the physical baptism of going under the water. That's a powerful and important part of your walk with the Lord. But do you need to let God vacuum out and detail the old spoiled milk underneath the seat of your heart and all those things that like that so often we find in our minivan? The things that from the outside our van looks pretty clean and we look like, man, they always keep their van so clean and nice. That's what we do with our bodies. That's what we do with our life. We walk around and we say, look how clean I am. Look how great I am. Jesus wants to heal you and cleanse you. Jesus wants to heal me, and he wants to cleanse me from the inside out. All we have to do is approach him, kneel before him, and simply ask, heal me and cleanse me, Lord. Otherwise, if this wasn't the case, why in the world would Jesus have died on that cross? Why in the world would God have gave his perfect son for us if this wasn't the case? What is it that's keeping you isolated? What is it that's keeping you with your face covered like you can't look up? What's keeping your chin down to your chest where you're hanging your head in your life? What is it that's keeping you ashamed of yourself? What is it that makes you feel like when you come out in public you have to say, I'm unclean. I can't come to church. I'm unclean. I can't serve in the church because I'm unclean. I can't let God do this in my life because I'm unclean. Maybe you're doubting that God is even willing this morning, like this man was. Maybe you say, God, how would you even be willing to save me? How would you even be willing to cleanse me? You know what I've done. You know what I thought about during this church service. Why in the world would you cleanse me? Remember what the leper said. He said, you can. He didn't say, if you can. He said, if you're willing. All right, and Jesus told him what? He said, I am willing. He said, you can heal and cleanse me. You can do it. So I tell you this morning that Jesus is willing. I remind you this morning, Jesus is willing to heal and to cleanse you today. He can heal and cleanse you today. Will you approach him is the question. Will you get to the point where this leper was, where you say, you know what, despite all this, I'm going to come and I'm going to approach Jesus Christ, the one that can heal me, and I'm going to ask to be healed and I'm going to ask to be cleansed. If that's you this morning, if you're ready, you can do that right where you're sitting. You can do that right now while I'm speaking. You can do that while we're singing the song. You can say, Jesus, I'm ready to approach you. You don't even have to pray out loud. The Bible says that God knows what we say before we even speak it. He knows what we're going to say. But remember what he required of this man. He said, now that you're healed, now that you're cleansed, show everybody. Show everybody not what you can do, but show everybody but what I can do in your life. If that's you this morning, this time of invitation is not only for you to approach Jesus, but to show everybody who's witnessing right here today, this is what Jesus did for me today. Amen?